Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say yeah!
How is everyone doing this evening? How is the African family
and how are the children? I hope the children are sent well after Christmas. I hope they got everything that their little hearts desire. And Mom and Dad, you need to give yourself an applaud for giving those children just what they asked for. I know they're around the Christmas tree right now, still excited from all the joy that you brought them. I hope that you feasted well, and I hope that you also had the feather bird. I hope that you had the collard greens, the kale, the candy yam, and all of the trimming and fixings of the sweet potato pie and the German chocolate cake. So you've eaten well now. You've feasted well. Now it's time for us to mount up and go out like soldiers. And this is not just the Last Supper, but we're getting ready to prepare you for military, young ladies and young men, because Tahuti, he is the military commander. He is a real soldier, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if most of you know it. I have been on tour overseas supporting the military regime, and I have a few stories to tell you about my experience. And remind me to tell you, because I do want to let you know that I am the real Sister Soldier. And as we go through life, we acquire different names. I've been called Moses, the real Sister Soldier. But I'll tell you the story behind that, and you can determine whether or not I am the real Sister Soldier or not. Being in the military means that you have a lot of regiments. You have a lot of rules and regulations. However, as a civilian, I found myself having to be the real Sister Soldier in support of the military men and women overseas in Germany. So I'll tell you that story in a minute, but we're going to get on to Tahuti, because Tahuti is a real gem, ladies and gentlemen. He's a hard-working military government person. And I won't say man, because Tahuti could be a female or it could be a male. Excuse me. He works real hard. In the comedic troop, he's marching all the time, getting ready to go to battle. And when we learn about how well regimented he is and how he developed his spirit through working hard, you want to be like Tahuti. Tahuti is one of my favorites. And boy, do we have a treat for you today, because we're going to get off into some military regime. For all of you military people out there who might have been in the military, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, or if you've been civilian support, raise your hand. Because, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're a civilian, and you know what they call us out there, the GDI civilian, because they figure we don't need a civilian around, but 9 times out of 10, without a support system, you don't have a military, ladies and gentlemen. Can I get a high five on that? All right. I see somebody out there giving me high fives that the support system will never work in the military without your people that come over on tour to support you in your housing regime. And I know you know what's going on right now with Obama changing the proposition on the housing for some of the military people. There's a lot going on that a lot of military people are going to be somewhat upset about. And what I wanted to also tell you is that the support system will never go away from the military, because when those soldiers go out in the field, and most of them that take their families with them, they need a power of attorney to assign those children as a surrogate parent. And that way, when they go out on the field, they don't have to leave their child alone. And 9 times out of 10, the support system that I work for in the child development system for the military was always called upon, because our services was widely used. And I'll be getting into some stories about telling tales out of school, and I'm sure you'll be able to get with me on that. Once again, I want to say Merry Christmas and post happy belated Merry Christmas to most of you. We're starting in on Kwanzaa, and you know how Omi likes her Kwanzaa. It's Kwanzaa time. It's Kwanzaa time. We are celebrating Kwanzaa time. Kwanzaa time. We are celebrating Kwanzaa time. It's Kwanzaa time. We are celebrating Kwanzaa time, it's Kwanzaa time. We'll celebrate Kujichagulia Ujima. We'll celebrate Kwanzaa time, Nia. We have to know our purpose. We are celebrating Kwanzaa time, Ujamaa. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know how Omi likes Kwanzaa. Today we're going to light the second candle of the seven principle Kujichagulia, the ability to name for ourselves, to define for ourselves, and to create our own heroes and sheroes. We will determine who our enemies will be because we're getting ready to go to war. We're not just warring with anyone. We'll determine who our enemies will be. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember during the World War II, we put up the V sign saying that we fought a war abroad and stateside. The African Americans that went abroad, they had not only to fight with the people overseas in the war, but they fought a war against racism. And we're going to talk about that today, ladies and gentlemen, because there's been so many non-practicality behaviors, partiality shown against African Americans in the military. And it hasn't stopped, ladies and gentlemen. Believe you me, even during the 1900s, we still found that there were racism. Oh, yes, we found that there was racism being practiced. But how does one overcome it when they're serving their country and they want to be a good soldier? Stay tuned and let's find out. We're going to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. And let's go to Kujichagulia so we can name for ourselves and define for ourselves. But wait a minute. Something's wrong, Omi. Hold up. Hold up. Back up a minute. Back up, back up, back up, back up. Get that drum roll in here. Drummers, get in here, please. Knew with something going on. Didn't have the drummers. You know the emperor's in the house. Whatever you like, I am here to serve you. I am here to bring you your most desired. Whatever you like, Omi Inca 7 is here to serve you. I am your advocate that you need, and I am the advisor you want. Don't those drummers play so well? Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes. You're so sweet sometimes. Thank you very much. Thank you for giving me that drum roll, ladies and gentlemen. And as we go on with the show, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for station identification. We're going to bring Kujichagulia in the atmosphere.
When we stand in the principle and we know where we want to
Kujichagulia, ladies and gentlemen, it means self-determination, the ability to define for ourselves, to name for ourselves, and to decide who our heroes and sheroes will be and who our enemies will be. We will determine our own enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder, will you go with me on this occasion to celebrate Kwanzaa, the second day of the seven principles? As you know, we did Ijumaa yesterday, and that was unity. And for those of you who did not light your candle, you can go back and light that candle. It's very important to understand that yesterday's unity was the beginning of bringing your families and loved ones together. Today, as we get ready to light the candle for Kujichagulia, I want you to understand that it is a part of ceremony, okay? And what I mean is that you can celebrate Kwanzaa. You can celebrate Kwanzaa throughout the year, just as we are doing here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please stand with me during this ceremony of Kwanzaa, I'm going to ask for permission to speak from my elder. Elder, do I have permission to speak and go on with this ritual?
Yes, you do have permission to speak, and we like to wish you and everybody a happy holiday. And you have permission to speak. And a happy new year.
Thank you so very much, Elder. And ladies and gentlemen, I light the candle of Kujichagulia today. And as I light the candle of Kujichagulia, remember you will have your three green candles representing the land of Africa. And your three red candles representing the blood that was shed for the middle passage of the people who passed on, traveling across the waters of the Pacific Ocean. And then we have the black that represents the Nubian, the African people, the black burnt skin people. That is the reason why. And as you know, we have a flag that is red, green, and black. And we talk about that flag throughout the year. We will not bring out the flag for the sake of time, but you know how the ritual goes for the flag. Remember that our people are proud people who also were military regime, who fought in wars and also participated in World War II. Even though there was racism abroad and at home, we managed to get through that little idiosyncrasy. Ladies and gentlemen, you must remember with Heturuti, he is the military regime, a strong stone hall faith who believes in discipline. And as we discipline ourselves to get ready to complete the 29 days of the ritual that we have been taking upon ourselves, I want you to understand that we are the real soldiers. And because of the sojourn and what we've gone through and what we continue to go through, this candle has been lit for Kuji Chajalia. I'm going to go right into my ritual for the family. I light the candle for my mother's side of the people so that they will have a light to guide them back home for Kwanzaa, that they may participate in this festivity. I light the candle for my father's side of the people, that they may have light to guide them through the airways and through the difficult time of coming home. As the candles are lit, ladies and gentlemen, I'm mindful of the fact that we are like candles, like a city on the hill, with a guided light to bring each one back to understanding of consciousness. I set a glass of water down before my mother's people that they may forevermore be quenching their thirst. And I pour the water for them. I set a glass down for my father and pour the water. And I say, Ashe. And as I wash my face with the water, and I wash my hands, I too wash my hands with the matter of racism, that it will be settled, forevermore settled, in the hearts of those who have perpetuated racism throughout the military regime. During this ritual, ladies and gentlemen, we must prepare ourselves to go before the Almighty Oladunumare, and we must also summon Heruti. We summon Heruti to come in this room, a military soldier, a military lieutenant, to establish his order here with us now. And as I prepare to pour libations to the east and west, I pour libation. To the east, to the west, to the south, and to the north. I pour libations to the ground so that where the water hits, it will take root and it will spring up, and the word will abide in the hearts of men and women. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that water knows no enemy. It is neutral. So on the enemy lines, water stands unadulterated, unharmed, unafflicted. Water is such a neutral part that we use it in our rituals to indicate how neutral we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to now take out that list that you have of your ancestors and heroes and sheroes, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kwanzaa time. This is the time to setting up your rituals and practice them for more ritual time throughout the family. Hence more, forevermore, let it be settled in your family that it will be customary rituals and traditions. Be you black or white, celebrate the customs and traditions. Remember that Kwanzaa is a first fruit of giving back to God. Your first fruit. It is not a religion holiday, but as we celebrate this, remember that we celebrate the gift of giving today, of giving back to God our very best. I like to call on the name of my father's side of the family and my mother's side of the family. And I'd like to call on my heroes and sheroes today as we activate this series. As we do this, let it be remembered that this is the process and the manner in which you will conduct your rituals. You can deviate, however, teach your children and your loved ones, and let the elders pass the baton. Let the elders carry the weight and you crawl across their back. Demonstrate that for your children, that they cannot stand any taller and any higher than less they stand on their ancestors' back. You'd be a fool, a damn fool, for not recognizing your ancestors. Eli, remember? Oh, Eli! Even Eli had enough sense to call on his ancestors when he got down. He knew that they would pick him up and they would make him strong. I say, call on your ancestors today. Do like old Eli did. Call on your ancestors. Men of a dead told us to take a little bit of her with us as we go across the waters of no return. As we enter the door of no return. Man of a dad says, take a little bit of meat with you so you won't forget where you came from. Take a little bit of juju with you so you remember when you came out of the annals of the ship that you have a birthplace and you have a culture and a heritage. So don't forget, lest you be a damn fool, you don't celebrate and acknowledge and pay homage to your ancestors who back. Take a deep breath now and breathe with me. Breathing in the energies of God and breathing out the carbon dioxide of expiration. Hearing the words as you chant and chant your mantra so that you gain the power you need. Accessing your own mantra. Take it into the trance with you. I call Eugene Lilly's son, Shay. I call on Isa Lilly, Shay. Ruby Lilly, Shay. Bessie Lilly, Shay. I call Lucille Day, Shay. I call Louise Lord, Shay. Ludell James, Shay. I call Tommy Harvey, Shay. I call on Michelle Harvey, Shay. I call on Ludell James, Ashe. Ruby Bracken, Ashe. Clipper Bracken, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. Elijah Day, Ashe. And every day, Ashe. I call on my heroes and sheroes, and I say, Harriet Tubman, pick up your weapon, my daughter. Pick up your rifle and your pistol. It's time for throwdown time, sister. Pick up your weapons and go toe-to-toe. It's time to stand on the line of the military battle. Head us off, Harriet, because we know you drove slaves through the underground, and you can drive us once again. Lead us and talk to your brother, because he said that he can't go, because he can't swim. Pull out your pistol and tell him he's going to wade the water, or he's going to be a dead Negro. Come on, Harriet, lead the way. And as Harriet leads the way, I say to you, stand to your feet if you're not already standing. You're standing on holy ground. Moses is in the place, and she's ready to lead us across the water.
And as she gets ready to lead us across the water, then she calls on the rest of those people, like Rosa Parks. Go on up front, Rosa. Madam C.J. Walker, walk that walk on up there with Moses as we go across the line. And I call on Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, this sweet wife, Coretta. Get on the line. We're on the front line now. And I call on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to stand on the front line with us. And Malcolm X, my brother, stand on the front line. I say, Ashe, Ashe. And come on from behind that tree, Nat Turner. We need you today. Come on, Nat Turner. We got a battle to fight. And this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places and wicked places. If we tear down and will, stand on the line today. We call forth those who can stand in battle. We call forth every one of those heroes and sheroes that they may come and help us, and they might come and pick us up. But we know there's some other ones out there. Dr. Clark, stand on the line with us, Dr. Clark. And Dr. Jen Yunkin, stand on the line. Dr. Carruthers, come on down and stand on the line with us, brother. Take your ammunition, pick your poison, and choose your weapon, and choose well. We're standing on the front line today, because we're with Jehovah, and we're going to stand on this line together to learn how to become real soldiers. Take your places, because we are now ready to go into battle. And if you are ready to go into battle, stand on the line. Nat Turner is already in his proper place. Thank you, Nat. For going up front. Nat is always with a leader. And John Brown, what are you doing over there in that tree? We see you, John. Come on down. And right now, we ask for you to also call Nina Simone to go up front and sing that song, Mississippi. Step out front, Nina Simone, and lead us on. Lead us on. We want to lean on each other, because in battle, ladies and gentlemen, we have to depend on one another. We have to depend on each other to watch our back. So you are doing nothing on your own strength, but we're calling on our Ori. Call on your Ori today, because your Ori is the one that will give you the ability to have wars that you can win. Let's call on Ori, because he was there at that inception of man. He knows the beginning from the end. So he can tell us what poetry and weaponry to use and what strategies to use in this war. We call on you, Romola, or Romola. The Romola that we're calling on today is the prophet of the Africans to lead us and guide us today. As we go before the war right now, we are not looking to fight flesh and blood, but we're fighting and pulling down principality and high places. Ability to practice segregation. We're pulling down all of these strongholds today. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think that you're going to war against flesh and blood, but you are fighting against the minds today. There is a fight for your mind today. You must struggle today for your mind. You must fight for your children's mind. And you must understand that there is a war to gain your acceptance through your mind. If you give up your mind, you might as well give up your heart too. Because where the mind goes, the body will follow. And now I'm telling you to stand on the front line in a spiritual war, that we pick up our weapons in a spiritual realm. We're powerful and mightyful in the spirit realm. And what we do in the spirit realm will manifest in the flesh. We are ready to do spiritual warfare right now. I don't know how many of you have been taught about spiritual warfare. Get your scriptures out, sisters and brothers, because when you call on the scriptures, when those who know the scriptures are powerful, fight with the scriptures today. That is your warfare.
call things that be not as though they were. I'm calling and bringing down racism today as though it never existed. Impartiality we're bringing down today. We're bringing down all forms of fornication. We're bringing down broken homes and broken marriages. We're dismantling them. We're bringing husbands home again. We're bringing children back to their senses again. We're allowing the elders to pass the baton. We are calling things that be not as though they were. Stand on the front line and be counted as a real soldier. How many of you can stand on the front line and use your powerful words and chants to do the work? You need not vindicate yourself. God said he would vindicate you. Your personal Godhead that lives on the inside of you. Call Ori. Call Ori. Ori is the one that you should pay homage to when he gives you good success in war. Ori is the one that will vindicate you today. And remember, you're nothing by yourself. You're sharing the tools of your Godhead who lives on the inside of you. And you have access to all of those tools. Now, why don't you use them? We're in a war. There's been a war against women all this time, and they don't even know they're in war. But let me tell you, Tahuti wants to tell you about how to gear up and become a real soldier. So when you do go toe-to-toe, you can use your powerful, mighty words. You can use your chants and incantation, and you can do battle at war, and you'll win, and you'll be successful and victorious. Victorious. Bless the Lord that causes us to triumph. Bless the Lord that causes us to triumph and give us peace, and give us peace, and give us peace over all our land. Bless the Lord that causes us to triumph. Bless the Lord that causes us to triumph and give us peace, and give us peace, and give us peace over all our land. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. You are standing on holy ground. The battle that Jesus ended, you're going to finish. The battle that Jesus started, you're going to begin. You must remember that Jesus was no milk and toast young man. Jesus was a warrior from the beginning. Jesus' representation was a black panther over his house. He believed in chastening and tearing down and rooting up. Jesus was a real battle, and he was a real hero. And he, being your eldest brother, would want you to be too. Don't forget about Jesus. Don't forget about the thing he did was known in history for fighting the Romans, bringing down the institutions of falsehood and the institution of government wickedness in high places. He was known for that, ladies and gentlemen. Young people, I want to speak to you right now. Your hearts are heavy, and you want to fight a war, and you don't know who to turn the gun on. Your hearts are so heavy now. Right now, you know a war is supposed to be fought, but you're turning the guns and the missiles on the wrong people. You know it's time for throwdown time because you know what Jesus was like, because Jesus was a wild, young, rooted person like yourself. And Joseph was too, and David, because David slung his slingshot, and he battled the war with one slingshot and a smooth stone at the age of 14. So war is on your mind, young people. I know what you're thinking. But you don't know who the enemy is. Will you go with me today so you can find out when you look in the mirror, the enemy is not someone who looks like you. It is not someone who is even flesh and blood. This is a principality that you are going to war against. You're going to have to be trained and rooted up in the proper manner in order to fight this war. You are fighting a war of people you can't even see. So you're going to have to gird up your knowledge and become conscious. And you're going to have to get the word of God and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. You're going to have to understand what I'm talking about when I say consciousness. Your third eye is going to have to unveil. Your medulla oblongata in your spinal cord and your pineal gland is going to have to advance itself so you can wake yourself up and remind yourself of what great warriors you used to be. You're going to have to understand that you can see in clairvoyant places. You can lift and move things with your mind. You don't have to get up and pull out a gun. Take your mind to places where things are not right, in the courtrooms and in the high places. Use your mind to elevate truth, justice, and righteousness like Maya did. Call on Tahuti too. Tahuti is a scribe. He'll go with you. Take them into your trance too. And as you call on Tahuti and Maya and Seker, let them set the record straight on justice and righteousness in courtrooms that are being slung all over the Supreme Court, from case to case, from brief to brief, from motion to motion, from interrogatory to interrogatory. You got to learn, you got to learn, you got to learn how to write your briefs, how to write your motions, how to write your interrogatories, how to stand up and vindicate yourself. You're going to have to learn that you too can do pro se. Why stand a chance of your life being on the line when you don't have a foe that is for you, that's representing you? Represent yourself. Call on Tahuti. Call on Maya. They will help you. Ask them to go in the courtroom and vindicate you. You got some work to do, young people. You got some work to do. But don't forget that you got people behind you to help and show you, to help you to become your own administrator and your own adjudicator. Adjudicate your own case. If you're innocent and you want to go to trial, but somebody said sell out, there will be no trial. But somebody said take an offer. Go in there and take a plea bargain, and you know you're innocent, and you want to fight the case, and you want to be vindicated. But because your rights are being violated, you take a sellout, and you ended up writing yourself a ticket up the river. God said, stop it. Stop it. Go into those libraries and learn and become learned students and read and adjudicate your cases. God will be with you. And you know your God now, so call on that God that's within inside of you and ask him to help you. Enough is enough. We cannot max out any more jail cells. We cannot put any more false cases. We cannot have any more hung juries. Things have got to change, and let it be today. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be with God as our fathers, brothers, all are we. Let me walk with my brother in prayer. Let there be peace on earth today. Why must we have it underclass? Why must we have people building jail cells in rural areas to put urban people in? Why must we have a behavior modification that doesn't work when we got programs that do work? And why must we be rehabilitating people only to go back into prison to become more scrutinized and to become more criminalistic? Things have got to change. My prediction for the year of 2011, prison cells will be obsolete. Behavior modification will become the tree of life. behavior modification to change modalities and not just words, but modalities to change heart conditions and to change minds. And then we'll truly have a vindication of rehabilitation so that those who are guilty will take their punishment, but those who are innocent will be vindicated. This is my decree over the families today. Stand up, young people. Wherever you are, stand up. There's a cry that's coming all over the world. You know that there's a war that needs to take place, but you don't know where and who to fight the war against. Study to show yourself approval. A workman needed not to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth. Get into those law libraries, majoring in law. Only will help advocate you. Only will help you find funding to go to school. Go back to school, not just for criminal law. Go back to become a lawyer. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a paralegal. I fought many cases with lawyers. And you can fight your own case too. Now, if you don't do it and you're wasting your time in school getting a liberal arts degree, I'm telling you that you can go for law, and there's funding available for lawyers that are minorities. They're looking for you all over the place. All you need to do is show up at the door and say, I want to go back for law. Somebody will help you. Now, start your journey now. Let this be the beginning of the day that you start your journey. Stand on the front line with the elders, and let's begin the process. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone beyond the sanctuary. I want to go right into Tahuti and telling you a little bit about who Tahuti is, our brother of war. Tahuti, as I told you earlier, let me bring my composure back down, coming out of the spirit, taking deep breaths, breathing in and out, breathing out the air of frustration, breathing in the oxygen of anew. I'll quiet myself so God can speak to me and through me. The fifth spirit is Heteruti, as I indicated to you earlier. While Heteru, faculty is in charge of establishing order in the life of man through the guidance of wisdom and divine law. In other words, through reason, Heteruti accomplishes the same thought through force. He must not be misled, however, into thinking that this is a mindless use of force. Negative behavior is transcended by this faculty, not through the time that the rational mental discussion. We engage ourselves in required to convince us that the immediate revolves that comes from the identification of a son. Tahuti, Heteru is a soldier, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you. He is the general lieutenant, and he gears up all of the military regime and the government system, and he teaches them discipline. He takes his troop and marching, where they march and train themselves before they go to battle. Now, what battle are you asking about, Omiinka? You're probably wondering. Who needs to fight a battle back here on the mainland when we're fighting abroad? Just as the troop from World War II said, keep up the V sign, we fight a war abroad and stateside. What they were trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the racism was a war that they fought against. They fought against racism just to be in the army and to be recognized as men. And to find that when they went abroad, the people who they were fighting sometimes were the darker skinned of the people who they were fighting and who had no known vengeance against them, yet they were instructed to kill. They had some trouble with that. They had some trouble determining who to turn the gun on when they were still fighting a war back here in the United States of racism. We are yet still fighting that war of racism. It has not ended, and it will continue to go on. But I do believe in my spirit, as we become more conscious as African Americans of who we really are and come into our ancient fathers' footsteps and live the life of a God, it is very difficult for someone to turn the hand on a God, because the God will reveal himself in the enemy and they will know who he is or who she is. And that is why I said African Americans must bring their character up. They must discipline themselves to overthrow the saggy pants, the behavior that depicts themselves as somebody that's unscrupulous. They must give up the vulgar behavior and talk against one another, and they must exemplify high character. And they must not be sellouts for the media. They've got to make some changes, because right now you're selling out the general population of African America, and you're getting a pretty penny for it, you think. But just as you drop your money in your bag, there's a hole in the bottom. You're not reinvesting your money in your community. So there has to be some changes on the African-American part. If you're going to be a real soldier and you're going to stand on the front line, there's a few things you're going to have to understand that a real soldier won't do. Let me show you or give you an example of what I think a real soldier is.
A Real Soldier, read by the author Onyeka Bidiako Garth. Didn't come here to put on your gear, aligning myself with soldiers standing in fear. I'm not just rapping, for I'm real sincere. This time was reserved for those who could persevere. You got a real soldier. I thought I had told you that you got a real soldier, and that no weapons formed against me, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. So lay down your arms, you imposters. This is for all you detailed characters in disguise. No longer will you be able to reprise. Didn't come here to win your medal prize. I'm on a mission. That's what you really despise. You've got a real soldier. I thought I told you that you got a real soldier, and that no weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So lay down your arms, you imposters. I took a job on tour overseas to only discover that my family and I now would be under siege. I'm behind enemy lines, fighting in a war that's not even mine. I aim to stand my ground like the Board of Education versus Brown. You've got a real soldier. I thought I had told you that you got a real soldier, and that no weapon formed, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So lay down your arms, you imposters. So it was your plan to inseminate false evidence to incriminate, which only led you to discriminate. Was it the scholar in me that caused you to hate, forcing you to enter into this fatal debate? Didn't you think that you could actually succeed to execute your own laws that you wouldn't even heed? You got a real soldier. I thought I had told you that you got a real soldier, and that no weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So lay down your arms, you imposter. While looking back in retrospective, you never should have challenged the queen of intellectual. Why didn't you know that I was sent from the green light of the benevolent? I'm battling you right here on your own land in the Netherlands. Why, the very cries of the people, they summons me here. They have a mighty warrior, void of all fear. Why, my very words are charged with energy and ordered not to return unto me void, but to accomplish that which is intended. And to your very ways you have amended. I'm a soldier. I thought I had told you that I'm a soldier, and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
So lay down your arms, you imposter. Refuse to take your brand. Instead, I took a stand. Now watch me enter into a divine man. Attempted cultural genocide. I wonder, will the courts override, or will this be a case for the media to decide? Wait! Hold up! Didn't I tell you? I was a born strategist. While you're dealing with one of the baddest practitioners, born of a sign of fire, why I entered this world with water surrounding me, having the whole host of heaven on my side. Therefore, I will not be reprised. Why I was born in the year of Mayat, which embodies the doctrine of divinity of law and order. I'll weigh your heart against the double halls of truth and justice, and the rule a standard against you. I'll measure your deeds against the cubic two. Then I'll throw the papyrus scepter book at you. By now, you should know who I am. By now, you should know who I am. I'm a real soldier. I'm more than a conqueror.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're more than a conqueror, and you must know that. Tahuti knew that. And Tahuti, in the makeup of the comedic industry, Tahuti being the sergeant of the group, knowing his passion for war and knowing his makeup, he was given commission over all of the deities to bring in the military regime. Now, most of you young people are going to face the military regime, and some of you are going to have to join. And then there are others who will be drafted. It is honorable to serve your country, ladies and gentlemen. Omi Inka answered the call. I answered the call as a support person to go abroad to support the United States Army. And it was an honorable decision, ladies and gentlemen, one that you will never regret. As long as there's peace in the land, the preparation for war is just as dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. And being a civilian is still just as dangerous. You have to be very cautious about where you go, the people you meet, what you say, because you're under government official orders. You are evaluated. Your background is checked. And you must hold up the highest regards in your character, ethical background. It is an honor to be a part of a military regime. Never once did I shrink down from being a part of such a great establishment. I was more than honored. But when you have people that join the establishment that have a character problem and they are not living up to the utmost desire to be the best person, then those people ought to be pulled aside and dismissed. And if those people try to undermine anyone in the establishment to hurt their character, they ought to be dealt with. We have become unethical in our ways, and we have brought unethical behaviors into the military that really needs to be dealt with. And some of them go unnoticed, and some of them go undetected because civilians are not very, very familiar in the military, and sometimes they don't know how to deal with them. But my experience in going overseas was a great one. I supported many military men and women as a civilian off base. I had a home that was open to them for any cause, for the ability to pray or to have a meal, to break bread. I was sort of a refugee house for those who were looking for refuge, and they were able to come in my home and to be able to discuss problems that they had as working with their families. They were very open, and I tried to use every skill I had to assist them, just as Tahuti would have done, to help them to understand their purpose and their commitment, because once you commit, it is a great one, and it must be honored, because you put your name on the line, and your name must carry some weight. And you must have a credible name if you're going to get an honorable discharge. Now, it's very important for you to understand, as teachers going abroad, it's a little different for us as teachers. Our requirements are a little bit lengthier in our day's work. I worked for 10 hours for the military because I knew it was our country who needed me. I took every assignment they gave me, even though it was almost next to impossible to carry on two jobs. I worked two jobs for the military, carried on all assignments after hours. I was the best at what I did. And when you have a colonel to come to your office to tell you that you're one of the best, then you know you're doing something right. But when those undermining people come and try to overshadow your character with partiality, you have to look out for them. You have to, because they're always there when they see someone being exalted. Now, I know that in a little while God will exalt you, and I'm not worried about that. No, I never put it in my heart to become negative against anyone, but I wrote about it instead, and now I'm getting ready to profit from it. As I wrote about this story, all of the military women want to know what the outcome was with this officer. All of them wanted to know what was the outcome. So this will be the day that I sign off on my book, will be the day that a lot of soldiers will be able to bring some closure to their life. And it will help them understand what exactly went on with a congressional order. Yes, I was a young lady who brought a congressional order against the military on account of a number of different things. However, we had a chance to address those things, and I am not bitter in my spirit. I am not resentful in my spirit. Things happened for a reason. It was foretold before I even went abroad that I was being called to do a great work to carry a class action case. That is all the detail that I need to give you, but I was a real sister soldier, better than some soldiers who wore the medals. And those soldiers knew it, and they came to my home to honor me as the real sister soldier. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going all the way with me today as I told my story. You'll be able to find that book, The Real Sister Soldier, according to Garth. It'll be coming out next year, and you'll be able to read it and find out what experience I went through. But nevertheless, it was appropriate to bring about that information today as we talked about Tahuti, one of our comedic leaders and one of our outstanding generals and lieutenants. As you stand up for Tahuti and you go into your meditation, remember the war starts in the mind, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the war is fought in the mind. And I'm not talking about a war with weapons. I'm talking about a mental war. Keep your mind strong, because there's all manners of men who are seeking out to rob you of your mind and to decay your mind and to sway your mind and to deter your mind. We have already waited too long to start the process of war. The war must begin now. It is a war on our children. It is a war for our women. We must begin to intelligently use the techniques for the mind to fight for stronger minds. Whoever wins this war will win the minds of the people. Don't forget, you have a God on the inside of you, little G. You have his tools and weaponry to work with. Now use your weaponry and use it well, my sons and daughters. And I say to you, go out and fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. I know you can do it because you're a real soldier. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you. Fight the good fight of faith. And when you fight the good fight of faith, your good name will be known all over the land. I know you can do it. Tahuti did it, and he's still doing it in the spirit. When you go into your meditation, take the image of Tahuti. Call upon Maya. Call upon Seker. And call upon Heru. Heru is the real sergeant lieutenant. Give Heru the honor today. And I say on that note, thank you for going with me today, and thank you for listening to my story, and I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place. And on that note, I say baba booey to you, y'all, and I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, devil! I thought my time was up. How was I mad? Was I good? Oh, was I okay?